Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things movie and nostalgia podcasts, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our childhood to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poland Clark, and with me is my co-host, Kara Gill-O'Regan.
Hello.
And today we're joined by Kristen Lopez. Hi, Kristen.
Hello, everybody.
Kristen chose the 1995 movie The Babysitter's Club, which follows a group of middle school-aged girls who run a babysitting club in their town, the fictitious town of Stony Brook, Connecticut. They're in Connecticut, right?
Yes.
The movie is based on a series of books of the same name published between 1986 and 2000. It took them 14 years to graduate middle school. the movie follows the girls over the course of a summer where they decide to expand their babysitting business to run a summer camp. Kind of follows each of the girls on their various journeys, both together and apart. So, Kristen, why did you choose this?
So there's a couple, you know, when I was offered the chance to talk about something nostalgic, there's a couple routes I thought about taking. You know, I most people that know me know that I am a huge fan of The Little Mermaid, and they know that My Girl is one of my favorite movies, but I'd never get a chance to talk about the movie that I was obsessed with in 95. Which is The Babysitter's Club. So I decided that I wanted to talk about all the issues that I have with this movie as an adult that I didn't necessarily notice when I was about 8 or 9.
Which is perfect, because that's basically all this podcast is.
Exactly. So I figured if this was a chance to talk about weirdness with people that would understand, it was probably time to talk about this movie.
So then I'm going to assume you saw it when it first came out in 1995?
I did. I owned the big clamshell VHS tape. I wore it out. I quoted from this movie endlessly, like I knew what I was saying. It helped that I was a huge fan of the books. I read all of them, and I loved it. I love this movie so much. I love the weird 90s soundtrack, and the fact that it
the
had...
The soundtrack is so good.
It did, and the fact that it had Alex Mack in it. it had Larissa Olenek in here, so it made me happy, and it played on all the things that I loved in 95, which was, like, weird movies about teen girls that acted like they were way older than they were. I think, like, this and Harriet the Spy gave me a lot yes! of hope that obviously I was way smarter than most of the people that I knew.
I think this was a little bit before that, but I also feel like Clarissa Explains It All falls into that category,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
How old were you in 1995?
That is a great question, because I don't remember how old I was. Seven. I was seven.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's pretty young to watch this, I feel like.
My parents were incredibly permissive, and this was, you know, my I read a lot, so I'm sure that the conceit was, well, it's based on the books that she's read, so it's okay. I don't remember what my mom said the first time she watched this. Now, we watched this together about a month or so ago, and she was like, God, I can't believe this movie exists. I'm like, I know, right? It's the weirdest movie ever, because it's aimed at, you know, middle schoolers, and it's got some really weird plot points.
Which we will get into. Had you seen it between the time that you were very young and when you just watched it, like, a month ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is one of those movies, if it's on, I will... And, I mean, I'm nearing 30. I will watch this if it's on and just shake my head. I mentioned before we recorded, I've seen this more than is probably healthy for an adult. And I sit there and I shake my head and I say, what were we thinking? I mean, it's so 90s, but it's just... playing into some of the weirdest parts of the 90s, and it's written and directed by women, but at the same time, like, I can imagine that this would be some pervert's dream of a movie, because, again, it just has some of the weirdest plot points.
It does. One of the interesting things that I came across when I was researching this, like, kind of doesn't have a whole lot to do with what you just said, but, like, what you said made me think about this, which is that the art director on this, right before he worked on this, did Pulp Fiction.
No.
Yes. That is amazing. Which oddly enough, was probably, my mother drew the line at, like, two or three movies, and one of them I was not allowed to watch till I was a teenager was Pulp Fiction. So there, it all comes back around.
Full circle.
Kara, did you see this in 1995?
You know, if not 1995, probably 96 or 97. I don't recall seeing it, although I definitely, when I was watching it, I was like, I probably watched this at a sleepover. It seemed familiar.
This didn't feel like the first time you saw it.
No. And I had read, like, some of the books, but it wasn't something that I was, like, really super into.
Yeah, I'm somewhere in between you guys. Like, I know I saw this. I definitely remember seeing the trailer and being so excited that Alex Mack was in it. And, like, so excited that her hair was long and crimped.
Yes.
Which is a weird thing to be excited about, but I was a 9-year-old girl, so.
Which we need to talk about how this movie, I'm from California, this movie is one of two movies that I say don't ever see if you want to know about people from California. This and Hocus Pocus have the worst stereotypes about Californians that I've ever seen in my life.
You mean you people don't eat entire bowls of seeds?
No, restaurants. I've never eaten a bowl of seeds. I've never grown an herb garden. I never wore tie-dye. Like, I don't understand where these things came from. We're not all hippies. We did see, like, the civil rights movement and feminism in the 80s. Like, we went through those things, I'm assuming.
What did you used to quote from this movie? I'm so curious.
I remember the little rhymes that they would come up with. They have, like, little chants and stuff. Like, I remember doing that. I do remember that at one point it was really, I don't know if it was really cold or really, it was inappropriate weather for the comment, but there's a line in this movie where I think it's Stacy says, "I need air and I need hairspray." And I would say that a lot, but I didn't understand what it meant. So it just seemed like I was some weirdo that was talking about needing hairspray in, like, 30-degree weather.
Did the science test rap ever actually help you on a science test?
It did. Actually, my mom and I can actually do that. That's, like, the one thing my mom will remember about this movie is that, yeah, I don't remember it as much as I used to, but yeah, I cerebellum and stuff like that, I know how to remember all that stuff because of this movie. So I learned something. Yay!
I feel like that was one of the most painful. There weren't a lot of parts of this movie that I found hard to watch. Like a lot of the things that we go back and watch, it felt just, like, very safe and, like home to me because it was so predictable. I've seen it before. Like, I grew up watching a lot of those actors and things, but, like, that was one of the parts that I found so uncomfortable. It was just, like, the time where, like, everyone was trying to rap everything.
You're not a fan of white girl good. Rapping?
It wasn't good.
I'm so Can glad that you? we've all moved past that point in history.
When I was in middle school, I guess I must have been in 7th or 8th grade, and I was in the chorus, because I didn't play an instrument, and if you didn't play an instrument, you had to be in the chorus. You had to do something musical in my middle school, and they made us rap "I'll Be Missing You," the Puff Daddy version, and, like, it was, and I knew, like, I couldn't identify why when it was happening, it was so horrible, but I just knew that it was horrible, and I didn't like it at all, but I had to do it, and, like, watching them rap in this just, like, brings me back to that feeling, and I don't like it at all. And when did they prepare that rap? I also had I had a very hard time with reality in this movie because none of this could ever happen.
Well, considering that the plot line of one of the many plot lines in this movie involves Christy not having time for her friends, when did they all get together to perform this?
To write the rap,
plan
yeah.
this, exactly.
And, like, why? Okay, I understand. So Christy is the main protagonist. Yes. Like, she's the one we spend the most time with in this
movie. Whose only sin in life is looking entirely too much like Anna Paquin.
Well, she is.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
She is Sissy Spacek's daughter. So
yeah,
that also helps.
and I actually really like her. I like the Christie character. She's kind of a tomboy, but not like overly so. But she's not super girly. She's really smart. She's doing great. You know, she's a good kid. But like, she puts so much pressure on herself to be like a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah,
and she's 12 years old. But then other people always seem to also be disappointed in her that she's behaving like a 12-year-old. You know? Like, she forgets to pick up her brother one day from camp, and everyone's all upset with her. And, like, yeah, totally, she should have picked up her brother. But also, you relied on a 12-year-old to do that. Like... And then, like, Claudia's like, you didn't help me study math. And it's like, girl, you're in summer school. Like, they're going to help you study math.
Well, I think I know in the book series they're supposed to be 12. I think in the movie they say that they're 14.
I think they say they're almost 14.
They're almost 14, okay. Because I know Mallory and Jesse, the token black girl. They mentioned mm-hmm. that they're younger. And I think they're supposed to be like, what, 11? Everybody looks in this movie like they are about 16 to 17. Okay, so.
I looked it up. They're not.
They're not. Because
I thought
that
also. And I also went back and watched an episode of the TV series.
Yeah.
Which
everybody
in the TV
series, they look older. They look like they're 21.
No, I thought they looked like they were like 11. So I went and looked up, like, my actual thought when watching the TV series was, like, are they less attractive? Are they, like, a different age? Or was it just 1990 and this is what everybody looked like? Because we talk about that a lot on this podcast, how just, like, nobody looked good in the late 80s and early 90s. And they were definitely suffering from that some in the TV series.
Yeah.
But I looked it up. All of the actors were, like, maybe 15 tops. Like, they weren't that old.
Which is refreshing. And it only makes the plot lines in this movie worse.
Absolutely. What, like, okay, so let's talk about the plot lines a little bit. I talked a little bit how I feel like Christie was mistreated as a 13-year-old. Like, what else?
So my biggest issue with this movie in general, and my mom and I have come up with this theory, we laugh about it to this day. So much of the plot of this movie, if you say there's a main narrative, is how Christie's deadbeat dad, played by Peter Horton, shows up, and she has to keep this secret that he's there. And as I've watched this as an adult, I've pretty much come up with the scenario that she's dating her dad. I mean,
I wrote that as a note. When he shows up after being gone for he's been gone for years, we're meant to believe.
Yeah.
Like, the conversation they have legit could be a conversation between two people who had been lovers who hadn't seen each other for
exactly.
a while.
Exactly. He tells her, like, you're not allowed to tell anybody that I'm here. Like, he drives like a sketchy 89 rapist. he buys her a dress as a gift, and he knows that it'll fit her. Like, it is the weirdest, creepiest plot point I have ever seen in my life. And as a child with an absentee father, I was like, oh, when she tell, you know, she has this big speech and she tells her dad that he's a big fat disappointment, I'm like, yeah. And as an adult, I'm like, no, this is the most bizarre, like, weird power dynamic ever. And then he just, like, pieces out of the narrative and causes her to go to this, like, sketchy amusement park that looks like it's something out of an episode of Law and Order SVU. And, like, it's just... I don't understand how somebody thought, like, this seems like it can't be misconstrued at all. He takes them out into the woods on, like, a weird, like, camping trip/date. It's bizarre.
It was super weird. And like it made me think, like, we also talk about on this show often, like, the idea of, like, divorced parents and, like, latchkey kids. And we're like, where are all the latchkey kids on TV? Like, I think these are all the kids without parents, like, just wandering around amusement parks.
Exactly. Like, it's like Pleasure Island from Pinocchio.
They seemed, yeah, like, because these kids seem, I've read the books. I'm sure I read the books. And I feel like, and I read some interviews with Ann Martin, who wrote the books. And these kids, these girls, were meant to be, like, you know, independent, entrepreneurial. And, like, all that seems great when you're reading it in the book. And then watching them in the movie, they just seem really unsupervised.
Yeah, there is a lot of... Where are your parents? Of bizarre. Well, and everybody's, like, upwardly mobile. I mean, it's set in Connecticut, so these are a bunch of, like, wealthy white people. So, you know, everybody lives in, like, big mansions, and Chrissy's got, like, 20 siblings that all live in this big house. And then even, you know, Stacy has a single mom who's only concerned about what she's wearing and whether she's eaten anything else. Like, she's like, go to New York, go out to a club. Who really cares?
Yeah, with this 17-year-old boy from Europe.
Mom knows that he was 17.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the other plot line where I'm just like, okay, this is cool. Really?
But, like, they almost saved it when he finds out that she's actually 13, and he, like, freaks out and is like, what the fuck? But then, at the end of the movie, he comes back for her and kisses her and says, I'm going to be back next summer. And she's like, I'm going to be 14 then. And he's like, I know.
And he's going to be 18.
That's not better. That always, I'm not kidding. Back in 95, that was weird to me. And as an adult, that's even worse. Because I was sitting there thinking, no, dude, that's actually worse. Because now you're definitely going to prison.
Yeah, that's, like, actually illegal now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't care how good-looking and 90s foppish your hair is, okay? Like, no, you're definitely going to be going to jail. Like, it's not cute. And I don't know how they thought that line was going to play in 95, but it really doesn't play well, like, by 96.
Yeah, no.
Well, and that's the other thing, like, you know, the Stacy character's always been, you know, a bit more sophisticated, and the girl who plays her definitely looks older. She definitely doesn't look 14, but she definitely doesn't look like she's 21. And that was the one thing that always, like, weirded me out, is that they go to New York, quote-unquote. Looks like a back lot. And they go to, like...
It was Toronto.
It was Toronto, exactly. It just looks like an alley in Canada. And they go to this club with, like, these weird goth friends of his. Everybody's really pasty. And I want to say, because I read the novelization a lot as a kid, and in the novelization, that scene is actually expanded. And, like, his friends are all, like, 21. They're, like, smoking and talking about college stuff. And I'm, like, sitting there reading this, like, wait, what? And then the cab driver is, like, saying, oh, it's totally cool. Like, that's fine. There's
yeah,
a little
she says,
age difference.
Oh, well, my husband and I were engaged when we were 13.
And I'm like, what decade, what country are you living in? This is not America in the 1970s or however old you. No! When has this ever been okay?
Also, it was a lady cab driver.
Which is how you know it's a movie. Because I watch a lot of classic film, and there's actually a lot of lady cab drivers in, like, 1940s movies. So I don't know if maybe that was a callback or something.
Well, I just thought maybe it would feel safer to have two 13-year-olds and a dude in a cab if they made the driver a woman, and then it would be safer for that line to exist.
Yeah, that's a good
or something.
Point.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that by the end of this, both her Swedish paramour and Chrissy's dad would be sharing a cell by the next year, because I'm thinking both of them are creeps.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we thought was weird about this movie.
Oh, there's a lot more that
I also
think is very
weird
about.
There is a lot more. I have two that I was like, ugh, no. Like, one, I've worked at summer camps. It's very serious. You can't just start a summer camp in a backyard.
Yeah, that's very illegal.
They're regulated by the state. You need medical forms. And how come all those kids just showed up to the camp without parents on the first day?
That was the one thing that I, you know, I'm all for young women becoming entrepreneurs. But it's where I think the fact that this is an upwardly mobile, white, wealthy community just kind of makes you feel how, like, cheap your own life is. Because, A, they open the summer camp in I think it's Marianne's house, and the backyard looks like a football field. There's like, woods nearby, so they have this, like, wooded area, which again... small children, wooded area, maybe with a lake, like, recipe for trouble at the bare minimum.
A kid is definitely gonna drown if there's a lake nearby.
And then all these children show up and they're organizing things by potholder color, and they just have this unlimited food to feed, you know, picnic tables and stuff.
Unlimited jelly donuts to slingshot into the neighbor's yard.
Exactly. Like, nobody complains next door about porta pot. Like, the neighbor character that's played by Ellen Burstyn. Like, why is Ellen Burstyn in this movie?
It's such a disservice to her. She has no words, only faces for the first, like, 40 minutes of the movie.
Which I'm assuming is her questioning her agent about why she took this film.
I think you can just tell what a good actress she is because she carries this role, and I really liked her in it.
She's the only logical person in this film. You know, right? She's kind of like the mom in the room that just kind of comments on the obvious questions that you have about this plotline. Although she never brings up the fact that there's, like, porta potties or anything, like, the obvious issues. She's more bitching about, like, the things that directly affect her and not about long-term, like, sewage seepage, I don't know, like, things that I would worry about. But, you know, she's kind of like, look, you guys need to get it together, because I'm old, and I also pay a lot of money for my house, and I don't really care about your, like, little entrepreneurial spirit, because it's killing me.
Yeah. Alright, so that was my one problem. And the other thing that, like, stood out to me was, like, I really didn't like that. So that one guy, oh god, I can't remember his name. The one who liked Larissa Olenek.
Oh,
the magic guy. Name. Did lots of magic.
Oh, yeah. God. What's Alan.
Not Logan. Logan is the other one.
Where is he supposed to be from? Because he does, like, four different accents in this movie, and I can't quite put my finger on what his deal is.
He seems to think that he's, like, Buster Keaton meets like, the kid who was the voice of Thackeray Binks in Hocus Pocus. He thinks he's the kid from Hocus Pocus, and he's not. And it's just annoying. No means no, man. Like, just get over it.
So, Alan. His name is Alan.
Yeah, I think he's only... I think poor Larissa Olenek only dates him so that she can say that she gave it the college try and he needs to go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's... Okay, so this is what I have a problem with. Like, He gets overzealous. He tries too hard. He doesn't know what to do in front of the pretty girl. Fine. I think he's
Who
kind
among
of cute.
Us?
He's... Yeah, exactly. Who among us has not struggled with that problem? But then he finally just, like, straight up asks her out in a way that's not offensive. It's not pushy. It's nice. And she's like, oh, like, she didn't get the whole time that he was doing that stuff because he liked her. First of all, she's smarter than that. She should have known. But then, like, she says yes. She's like, yeah, I'll go to the movies with you. And then he puts his arm around her, and then she's trying to get away from him for the rest of the time that they're together. So, like, I don't understand. I don't like that she said yes if she didn't want to. I don't like that she's not just like, stop putting your arm around me. That made me uncomfortable.
Well, and you know, to throw the whole, like, Larissa Olenek character under the bus, like, I love her California-isms. So she's got, like, the crimped hair, and she wears a lot of, like, paisley pants. Again, apparently East Coasters' views of Californians are that we stopped developing in the 70s, and that we're all just, like, hippies.
By the way, that's definitely true still.
Which, maybe because I grew up in the northern, I live in the northern part of California, which most people think doesn't exist, because they think it's all, like, San Francisco and then Southern California. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just what it's easy to do, but, yeah, no, when she shows up with, like, her little herb garden, and Ellen Burstyn's like, your name is Dawn, how 60s, and I'm just thinking, you know, I would be so out of place, because they would be like, you're not a real Californian, you're some alien race that obviously is not our definition of what California looks like. So, California stereotyping, not cool.
Okay, so I do want to get to what we do like about this.
Yes.
But, Kara, what else? You said there are other things. What else is problematic here?
Oh, goodness. Let's see. I'm looking up my notes. Girl from California eating a literal bowl of seeds.
I don't want to know how many bags of seeds they had to open to fill that bowl.
I know, it's a really big bowl of seeds.
It was like a wholesale bag of seeds.
Yeah. The jelly donuts, but I already mentioned that. Like, they've slingshot things into the next door neighbor's yard repeatedly, and it's always a jelly donut, and I just don't understand, like, why is it always a jelly donut? You know, like, if you're gonna be slingshotting things, why not mix it up? Is the jelly donut a stand-in for something? Is it symbolic? I don't know.
Well, one time it was a stink bomb.
Oh, that's true, it was a stink bomb. Yeah, the last time it was a stink bomb.
I was gonna say, that stink bomb actually looks like a grenade mixed with a bomb, which I want to know how that was developed and how Homeland Security did not come down and wonder what was going on. I mean, that looks like
Homeland Security didn't exist yet.
That's true. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so that explains it then, because there's literally a part, something about where Marla Sokolov's character said something, did you pull the pin? And I'm like, what, is it a grenade? Is it gonna blow up? I think we're doing attempted murder here, ladies. Not a little friendly, like, you know, ribaldry.
I this makes me just want to say that I love Marla Sokolov in this. Because she's the same character that she is in Full House.
Yes.
Which
exactly.
Is just like the awful, mean, bad girl.
Well, yeah, she's kind of always that, and I just think that she's done it so much better in other movies.
What else is she in?
Good question. I cannot think of it at the moment. She was in Sugar and Spice. She was in love that one.
Wait, you actually know that movie?
Yes,
I have never met anybody.
This is like at least the second time we've mentioned it.
Oh my god!
I don't think it's been on the podcast, but I know that you and I have talked about it. Yeah, it's like I have this ongoing list of like strong female lead movies that I love from the 90s, and it's like right up there with Drop Dead Gorgeous. Those two are so good.
Well, they are written by the same woman, so.
Oh my god, are you serious? I didn't even know that.
I actually wrote a whole article about Lona Williams and the black comedies that she wrote those two, and how Hollywood was not ready for her, because
no,
I love both of those
not.
Movies. Yeah, I found somebody that actually knows those movies. I feel like
I've
been yelling
into
the void about those two.
No, and now I have to spend some time. I have to read your article. I'm gonna have
I'll
to
have
look
to
into this.
Send you the link.
What
yes,
else did she do? Yeah, that's very exciting. She's very good in Sugar and Spice, and you know, like she gets typecast as that same person.
Well, she's
all
good
the time.
At it. She's good.
Yeah,
at
she
it.
Is really good at it, and she has like the right look for it too. Like, she's pretty, yeah. But not too pretty, and she has brown hair, so obviously she can't be the good girl.
She has a real bitch face,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah, like, she does have a good resting
bitch face. I'm probably not supposed to talk about other women like that,
yeah.
But
well,
whatever.
And as a character, I mean, you know, I make fun of how, like, white privilege-y this movie is, but the movie really wants to lay down lines about, like, what's acceptable wealth and what's not. And so Marla Sokolov's character, Kogi, which God, sounds like it's an 80s insult. You know, she shows up in, like, an actual riding outfit, whereas, like, the other girls are just, like, in jeans and, like, a riding hat because, like, ooh, she's obviously wealthy. And she's, like, the one 13-year-old girl that can afford Smashing Pumpkins tickets and can go by herself with a boy. And you're like, wait, how do you have money for this? I guess it's because you have parents that obviously don't care and they just, like, throw money at you. Okay.
She had really cool boots, though. All the mean girls did. There was actually a lot of costumed overlap with the last movie that we did, which was Clueless, which came out.
That's what I was going to say.
Year. Oh, yeah? Because, like, Claudia
the
has...
Mean Girls, especially.
Yeah. There was a yellow plaid outfit that one of them had when they were, like, sitting up in the tree. But also, Claudia has that heart shirt just, like, ties in the makeups, makeover scene.
Well, and I love that, like, Cokie and her friends, they all match. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to travel as a group, which again, distinguishes them from the Babysitter's Club, because, you know, they're individuals, and they all dress, like, how their personas are, and I love their weirdly, like, metallic, like, everything is, like, a half shirt and, like, shiny, because, you know, it's the 90s, and they're bad, so I dig that.
Yeah, they were very shiny.
A lot of pigtails, too, like, everything is, like, really weird hair.
I mean, kind of weird hair compared to some of the things that we've watched.
That's true.
Pretty run of the mill.
It's better hair than, like, 89, 90. It's better hair than all that. All right, so what was good about this?
I didn't hate it. We were talking before we started recording about how we had to watch Bridget Jones's Diary, and that has made everything by comparison seem so much more enjoyable. So it wasn't terrible.
I will say this is a fun one for me to revisit, like, as an adult. Like, I have fun watching this as now, because I love its weirdness. I love how creepy it is. Because I'm thinking, God, I didn't realize any of this is... This is, like, you know, the filmic equivalent of, like, realizing that, like, that Third Eye Blind song is about meth. You know, it's just, like, as a child, you loved it, and you didn't understand how weird it was. And now as an adult, you're like, God, that's horrible. But it made me who I am. So... You know, I like it for that aspect. And I do like, you know, it's one of the few movies where you have a group of females who aren't fighting over a male. If anything, it's the men that cause nothing but trouble for them. Like, you're just thinking, every one of these guys sucks. Can't they just go back to operating their business?
At what point somebody actually says, I mean, we can't let men get away with everything.
Exactly. So I'm all for, like, solidarity, sister.
Yeah, like, I think for all the weird things, this is a nice movie about female friendship.
Mm-hmm. And enterprising and, like, teen girls, the power of enterprising teen girls. Mm-hmm. I love seeing movies about that.
It
makes me think about, like, how different the world would be if we didn't distract enterprising teen girls with, like, all the bullshit and just, like, let them loose, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to, like, tear each other down or, you know, chase after boys or, like, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But, like, I feel like our society just, like, pits young women against each other so much. But, like, if they work together, they could change the world.
I don't love... that it's an all-female babysitting business.
Mm. Well, technically, Logan is an honorary male member.
I know, but he isn't in the movie.
That's true.
Right?
He's in the movie, just not a lot. He's Marianne's boyfriend. He's the blonde dude with, like, the bowl cut.
Right, but he's not a member of the Babysitter's Club. Like, we do not see a boy babysitting... children.
Right, or at their meetings. Their official meetings.
Or participating in their meetings. So I don't love that part.
I can agree with that. I mean, you do get that, like, he's at the, like, the stables with the little ginger annoyance that's always trying to hit the baseball. So I always assume that that's like his one babysitting gig, but he's not necessarily integrated into the narrative like he is in the books, at least.
Side note, in the TV series, there's three ginger siblings, and the main one is Danny Tamborelli.
I was gonna say, oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. In the TV series, he's like a recurring babysitting client.
I was gonna say, like, I do like that, you know, the third act is interesting because they decide that they're going to expand and actually open up an office, which I think is really inventive, and I wish that it wasn't a total cop-out at the end. You know, they find this greenhouse, but apparently none of them know what a greenhouse actually does, because it's, like, super hot and there's no air, even though I think they could probably get an air conditioning unit. I don't know. They could get a couple fans, but then at the end, they decide, well, let's not change. Let's not expand. Let's continue to run this business out of this poor girl's bedroom. And they decide to give the greenhouse to Ellen Burstyn so that she can, I guess, not ever complain about anything again because she has her own little greenhouse fiefdom.
Well, they did a nice thing for her because she put up with their shit all summer.
That's true. That's true. I guess I just wanted them to go international like they were talking about.
Well, but they do admit that they're not very good at making money.
Yeah, but as one of them points out, most businesses don't even survive their first year. Many, like, take years and years to be profitable, and they didn't make... Their profit wound up being very small, but they actually did turn a profit, which is remarkable.
And let's not ignore the fact that it looks like there's about, like, 50, you know, like, 1,200 kids in this town. So, I mean, they just need to obviously set their prices a bit higher. Yeah. And with it being 95, like, inflation's gonna become a problem. So, I mean, I don't even want to know how much they'd be charging these days. Probably, like, $50 a kid.
Which, I mean, for, like, a summer of summer camp is kind of a steal. Like, it costs thousands of dollars to send a kid to camp for all summer, I think.
Yes, summer camps are really expensive.
Yeah. And considering they didn't lose any of the children, well, except for Christy's little brother that nobody really cared about, who was just found one. I'm sorry. It's obviously a small town. This kid doesn't know how to get home yet. He's, like, 10.
He's 7.
Well, he should still know how to get home. It's probably one road.
There's two things that I really liked. Just, like, liked. One of them made me laugh, and one of them I was like, oh, you're a little bit ahead of your time. One of them was when there was, like, they had, a Western-themed day. Mm-hmm. And whoever is making the announcement, one of the girls, is like, welcome to Cowboy Day, Cowgirl Day, Cow People Day. Like, she really wanted to get it right and, like, make everyone feel included, which I thought was great. And then the other thing that just, like, legit made me laugh was when they were waiting for Christy to show up at this cabin where they were having a birthday party for her, but it was when her dad was supposed to take her to the theme park. So she was, like, all running around the park and late and getting stuck in the rain. And somebody bought this cake, and the cake starts to melt. And the girls are, like, sitting in a line, and Mallory's at the end of the line. And they're like, what kind of cake is this? And Mallory's like, ice cream cake. And they're like, who bought ice cream cake? And they just, like, kind of look down the line until they're all looking at her. And she just does the most perfect, like, shrug that's just, like, so beyond her years.
Well, and honestly, maybe I would be the one that would get kicked out of the babysitters club super early, because I'd be like, well, this chick ain't showing up, so I'm gonna eat the cake, because yeah, why waste it?
Right. Well, it's just melting.
They're all really good friends to each other. Like, sometimes they mess up, but, like, they do stuff like that. And, like, Marianne knows the whole movie that Chrissy's dad is in town, but Chrissy asked her not to tell anyone, so she does not tell anybody, even when they're all mad at her for not telling, because she knows what's going on. Like, they're really good to each other.
That, or I always thought that they lived by the snitches get stitches code.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the weirdest element is that, you know, they're all really close together, but then they have these weird moments where, and it usually is left on poor Christy, which we mentioned, you know, like, Claudia's like, you're my best friend, Christy. Oh, wait, you can't help me pass math. I hate you. Or, you know, it just seems like they get really petty about stuff, but it helps that they decide to, like, enlist the help of somebody who can drive to, you know, start cruising down the interstate looking for her, you know, Christy in the rain. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I, while Claudia is taking her science test, I paused it on the screen where there's an actual shot of the piece of paper with her test. And it's no wonder that she was failing science. All of those questions were worded so poorly. Like, because it's all about, like, human physiology, which, like, I know a lot about. And I had a hard time answering the questions because I was just like, well, it could be that one or it could be that one. Or, you know, like, it just, no wonder she was failing science. Poor girl.
I'm just more confused with how big the boundaries of the camp are, because it seems like they change by the scene. You know, like, it's in a backyard and it's a fenced in area, but then there's also a wooded part, but then they also have room for a stage and, like, a truck with hay bales. And, like,
where did they get those hay bales? That's what I was the most upset about. Like, fine, you have juice, you got food, fine, you got them all shipped in, you got the porta potties, but they got hay bales also? Seriously?
I don't know.
I guess they were riding horses before.
Yeah, and I grew up in a weird wooded town where, like, it's not that uncommon to have, like, a giant piece of property where, like, you might have a fence in one spot, but then, like, it opens out onto the woods in another spot. So, I don't know.
I can see that. I don't think they're that creative, and I think that they just assume they have unlimited land.
Yeah, well, that certainly makes it easier for the story's sake.
All right, anything else about the movies before I ask Kara what other trivia she has?
Oh, diabetes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's diabetes in this.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. I wanted more about the diabetes.
So,
or less about the diabetes? Like, I don't know.
I feel like it played a larger role in the books. Like, you very much knew that that was a part of who she was.
Right. And in this case, and, like, that's one of the things that I actually remember from the books. But, like, in this, it's just, like, they mention it a couple times, which is also, I mean, that's fine. You know, it doesn't take, like, it's not like she's a walking test strip or anything, you know, like, it's not her entire character. She actually has other character traits, which so rarely happens when you have a character that has some sort of, like, health issue or disability. So, like, that was nice. But having remembered, like, it being so much of a bigger deal from the books, I was, like, kind of hoping that they would.
The movie presents it very ham-fistedly because you're, as memory serves, I mean, you're assuming she's, like, a type 2 diabetic, which is...
No, type 1.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Type 1, you're questioning whether she's, like, insulin taking and all of that. So, and having a grandfather who was type 1 diabetic and a mother who is type 2 diabetic, the movie plays it as, like, she is a tick. Her mother considers her, like, a ticking time bomb. Like, you could die at any second. And as someone who is disabled myself, I'm just like, it's a really heavy-fisted way of doing things. But then, when she goes out on this hike and her blood sugar crashes, and she says she needs to eat, I'm like, no, if you are having an issue with your blood sugar, you need insulin, girl, not an apple, okay? It's not going to work that way. So I'm thinking somebody might have done some very cursory diabetes, like, research, but then kind of jumbled both of them together into gobbledygook for the movie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Although, I mean, we should have been more concerned by the fact that she went hiking in the woods in a little, like, skirt and a shirt.
Yeah.
And she doesn't,
those
like...
Those are unreasonable hiking clothes.
Exactly.
Shoes. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know she wasn't wearing hiking shoes.
Yeah, she wasn't wearing hiking shoes. She's probably, like, sweating like a pig. I mean, she's definitely going to need an apple and a shower, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why her mom is, like, so freaked out, because... like, she can tell that, like, her daughter just wants to pretend that she's normal. And, like, you can't necessarily do that, you know? And, like, teens will do that to their own detriment. So, I don't know. I understand where her mother was coming from.
Well,
although,
and I have to laugh when she tells Luca, she's like, you know, oh, I didn't want you to think I was weird. And I'm sorry, it's diabetes, girl. Like, in 95, it wasn't that big a deal. It's not like, you know... You're telling him you have an extra arm or something. Like, that's weird. So, yeah, I'm thinking, I know it's 13-year-old girl stuff, and, you know, they make, you know, drama out of everything, but I'm thinking, yeah, he would have, like, been like, dude, this is 95. Diabetes is a thing. Like, we know. You're good.
There was something else that was some, I don't know, also... related to, like, a weird health issue in this movie, and now I don't remember what it was. Couldn't have been that important.
Well, that's, I think, the movie is, what I kind of like, because we don't see it a lot nowadays, is the film is rather aimless, plot-wise. I mean, we talk about there's a lot of threads, but when you really get down to it, they're all tenuously held together. The movie is very episodic. I guess the word I'm looking for is episodic. It feels like a television show kind of spliced together. And I think that's that can be inventive. I'm almost tempted to say that they were hoping this would spawn some type of franchise. And it didn't happen. So, you know, we never got further adventures, because the movie obviously seems like it could go in that direction by the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it seemed to me like they were just, like, trying to, like, because in the books, it would be, like, about one character mostly, and the other characters were there, but it would be from one character's point of view, and in this, it was, like, mostly Christy, but they also, like, were like, oh, but we gotta get everyone else in there, so it was just it's a big ensemble, and... They tried to fit a lot of things in, I think.
Yeah, it's... I mean, and it's amazing to remember that this got really good reviews when it came out. And it has a 64% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it was only one of, like, two nationwide releases that weekend, because it came out in August. But it despite having really good reviews, it didn't make any money, and it only opened in ninth place, which placed it a distant second behind Mortal Kombat. That seems appropriate for this movie, that it would be bested by a male video game movie.
I like that one, though. It's a good movie.
I've never seen that.
I don't know why this got good reviews. This movie's not good. And like, more than that, like, the acting and the writing is not good. Like, this is not a good movie.
I don't know. I don't think the acting's that bad.
I thought
the writing is definitely
the writing is definitely
great,
questionable. Yeah.
I mean, Ellen Burstyn, all those faces. She made so many good faces. Face acting.
Can you guys name all of the Babysitters Club members in this movie?
Not if you held a gun to my head.
I can do it. Christy, Stacy, Claudia, Marianne, Dawn, Mallory, Jesse. That's six. There's six, right?
There's one more. There's one more junior member.
Well, we're not counting Logan. He doesn't count. He's a boy.
No, there's one more junior member.
Who am I missing?
I said the token black girl. Oh, you said Jesse? Wait. Do it again. One more time.
Christy, Claudia, Stacy, Marianne, Dawn, Mallory, Jesse.
Yeah, no, that's
yes.
everyone.
Yay!
All right. Kara, what other trivia you got for this?
Not a lot. There was not a lot to be found.
There wasn't a ton to be found. I also looked.
However, the director, Melanie Myron, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, and Peter Horton, the man who played Christie's deadbeat dad, they actually were on the TV show 30-something as a couple. So, I think that's actually like the only real trivia that I came across. There just was like not a ton. They did do a Babysitter's Club reunion a few years ago at the Draft House in Austin. They did like an event with that. You can find some pictures online of them, you know, just like a where are they now sort of thing. Matt, like the girl that played Mallory, she's actually a natural blonde and had to dye and perm her hair to get the curly red hair, which came out great. I think she looks great as a redhead.
Yeah, it looks great.
And like,
I would have not. I would not have bought. You know, I believed she was a ginger.
Yeah, she looks very natural. So the movie includes commingled parts of books number 45, which is a Christie book. It's called Christie and the Baby Parade. Number 86, Marianne and Camp BSC, and Christie's book, none of which were actually written by Anne M. Martin, who wrote the rest of the book series. So,
because she wrote, I think she wrote about 100 of them. Mm-hmm. And then she was kind of, there was 131 of them total. She wrote 100 of them and was kind of like, yeah, maybe I'm done with this. And then other people ghost wrote the rest of them and she kind of like, you know, approved
supervised.
Them.
Yeah.
There were 3 spin-off book series from the Babysitter's Club.
Really?
Yep. There was Babysitter's Little Sister, which was books about their younger siblings, basically.
So, Babysitter's Club, The Next Generation.
Yep. And then there was a spinoff of that series called The Kids in Miss Coleman's Class, which was about, like, you know, a class of children, you know, one of the siblings in their class. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Dawn spinoff called The California Diaries.
I remember
where
those.
Dawn moves back to California. And they're actually, like, targeted at maybe a slightly older audience because they're more about, like, high school topics. I'm doing quotes. You know, like, anorexia and, like, you know, older topics.
I remember they used to do a book series that they called, like, Super Specials, where they would travel to different places and it would be, like, a bunch of their stories as they're, like, traveling. I think they went to, like, the Mall of America in one instance. I just remember there was one where they went to Disneyland, and, like, Christie's little sister, Karen, was really upset about riding the Haunted Mansion because she felt like the ghosts were coming, like, to follow her home or something. And I just was like, this kid's stupid. Like, I don't know. I was more advanced, so.
All right. Anything else about this movie? Oh, there was also a video game.
Yes.
Really?
There was a video game for Windows 95.
What was it?
I don't remember.
I remember they had one, and I didn't get it. I also wanted to be part of the fan club, and I didn't get to do that either. Felt very bummed.
Oh, I just Googled it, and apparently there is also a board game, because there's a YouTube commercial for
yes.
it.
Yes!
Really?
So, like, but, and this is dated 1994, so, like, the movie was actually, it feels like almost, like, the last thing that came out of this. Like,
yeah, that's
interesting. Maybe the video game was probably around the same time, but, like, the board game was 94, the book started in 86, the TV show was 1990, like, this was already a huge deal when this movie came out.
Yeah. Wow.
I miss those days.
On the was it the same actors on the TV show?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, all completely different actors.
The TV series was a Canadian production. That I remember Disney, I think, had bought the rights to show, because they used to show it on the Disney Channel. And this was financed through an American studio, and they just happened to film in Canada.
Gotcha. Right. I'm looking at a YouTube video of the video game right now. And it's like, oh my goodness, that is terrible resolution. you're like inside the bedroom where they have all their meetings, and you can like click on the different characters, and then they talk. And like, yeah, this is weird. It seems to be one of those video games, and I feel like there were a lot of these at the time, PC games in particular, where like, it wasn't really a game. You turned it on, and you clicked on some things, and that was kind of
it. It's like if anybody remembers like the Moon Rocket type of games, where it was like high school girls trying to figure out stuff, or the Olsen Twins oeuvre of video games were very similar.
Ooh, I don't think I had any of
those.
I didn't either.
I ate that shit up. I was like, Babysitter's Club and the Olsen Twins. Like, that was my life.
Yeah, I'm really surprised no one's picked an Olsen Twins movie
If
yet,
you have me back,
also,
I will.
Very disappointed
they
by
would
that.
Just be so hard to watch.
Not necessarily.
It depends on the movie.
Some of them weren't terrible.
If you're watching the Olsen Twins when they're little, like, that's one type of weirdness. If you're watching it when they were teenagers, that's like a whole other type of weirdness.
True. Very true. Because by then they were like already billionaires.
Exactly.
Great. Did we do it? Did we do the Babysitter's Club all the way through?
I think we did.
I think we've covered all the ground that one can with this movie.
Yeah, I talked about the inappropriate kiss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, that was,
cool. And animal backpacks. Remember, like, those backpacks that looked like stuffed animals, but they were a bag?
No. Were they in this?
Claudia has one when they just get back from New York City. It's like a panda bear. And I wrote that down, and I was like, I want one of those. But I'm definitely way too old for that now.
Nah.
It would be weird.
Well, I just Googled it, and one of the results is animal backpack for adults, so you're good. You're good. Let's get the grown-up version.
I did want, really? Like, an animal backpack and a clear umbrella as a kid.
Mm. Yeah, they have the exact one that she has. It's a panda bear backpack.
Oh, panda bear. My best friend growing up loved panda bears. I feel like she would have had that.
Was her name Amanda?
No.
No. I just feel like the Amandas that I've known have been really into pandas because it rhymes.
No, her name didn't rhyme with panda. All right, anything else?
I would say watch it because it's weird as hell, but that's like part of its 90s charm.
Yeah, I mean, if you grew up and have seen this, or you watched Alex Mack, or She's All That, you'll be okay with this movie.
Yeah, I don't even think we mentioned that Rachel Lee Cook is in this.
Hey, guys, Rachel Lee Cook is in this.
Rachel Lee Cook was pretty much in every so 90s movie, and she's good in all of them.
Her hair is fascinating in this movie.
Yeah, I like it, though.
It's just, like, so... It looks like a wig.
Oh, it might be, actually, now that you say that.
I don't think it is. I just think she has very thick hair that was in a very specific haircut that never moved. it was very 90s.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the girl version of like a bowl
yes.
cut.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I'm gonna close this up.
Land the bus.
I'm gonna land that bus. I finally watched that movie.
Oh, yeah. Jordan is talking about Speed.
Oh, okay. It's a good movie.
Haven't been here for all of our...
We... I didn't love it. I didn't
but,
love
but,
it.
But by the end, you're supposed to believe that a bus can fly.
I had some problems with it.
You don't
it was
know
fine.
Joy.
It was fine. And I thought it was exciting. Because I think that's a pretty sweet... That's a pretty easy setup that you can make last a long time. Mm-hmm. The bus has to go one speed. That's it. I love that. Great. Great premise. But I had some problems with the relationship in the movie.
Yeah.
With the two people who didn't know each other and then were in love by the end of the day.
No, they trauma bonded. This is actually a thing that happens where when two people, like, undergo a very traumatic circumstance, especially if they're, like, the only two people that have lived through it, like, they have a weird bond, and sometimes that results in making out on the ground.
I could totally believe that.
Which in the sequel, you don't need to watch the sequel, but in the sequel, I think, like, Sandra Bullock makes a comment in the first, like, couple of minutes that their relationship was doomed to failure because no relationship based on traumatic events can sustain itself. So they're aware of
this. Yes,
oh, good, okay. See, I think that seems very real. That was my problem. That's basically my problem with it.
Yeah, but I don't even think Keanu is in the second one, is he?
No, he's not.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. What a shame. Long live Keanu Reeves.
Who's not in this movie.
Did it. Too bad, though. In my memory, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in this movie.
Interesting.
And so I'm upset that he wasn't.
As the guy that does magic?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe it's because he was in the next Larissa Olenek movie. Because he did 10 Things I Hate About You.
What was that? Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah. All right, we did it. We said all the things one could say about the Babysitter's Club. You can hear Kristen on the Citizen Dame podcast and on the Ticklish Business podcast and follow her on Twitter at @journeys_film. And Kara, you got anything you want to plug?
No, not currently, I don't think.
No. Cool. All right. Well, Kristen, thanks for being here.
Thank you for letting me talk about this weird movie about dad dating and babysitting.
All right. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.